Kneeling in prayer this morning and asking for the Lord's direction this evening. A song came to mind. And that was all I had. I had a song called The Old, Old Path. And then a few thoughts came to my mind, and I was thinking, you know, kind of preached similar thoughts over the past months here, and others have. But when Hubert preached this morning, it kind of all fell together in my mind. And he preached about that God never changes. You know, you read in Hebrews in the 13th chapter in the 8th verse, it says, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. And the words that he spoke 2,000 years ago are as true today as they were when they were penned and handed down to the children of men. God's word in our world today is the only thing that we can rely on. It's the only thing that we can say is sure and true and will never change. You know, we can't depend on man. We can't depend on the laws of the country. We can't depend on those things that are in the hands of men. Things change. We don't live in the same world that was here 2,000 years ago. We don't live in the same world that was here 100 years ago or even 50 years ago. Things change. But the Word of God never changes. So tonight, the Lord has directed me to speak a very basic message, one that every one of us is familiar with, that old, old story. We're familiar with it. And I don't know, in the missionary field, we preach different things, but that's what our theme is about. It's the old, old story, that plan of salvation, that story that Christ gave to the children of men. You know, Brother Jerry and I in Honduras were visiting one morning, and we're talking about the gospel. Certain passages of scripture, some people have a different opinion of, you know, look at it a little bit differently. But you know, when it comes to the plan of salvation, we're in agreement. Every minister in the Church of Christ that I've ever visited with, ever traveled with, we all tell the same old story. That old story that Christ gave us 2,000 years ago. You know, Christ came. He came for one purpose, and that was to give us hope of eternal life. He came. He hung on the cross. He gave his life. He gave his life that we, through his blood, through obedience to his commandments, have that hope of eternal life. You know, in the beginning, and I always found the first verse in the Bible very interesting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very simple start to a very complex story. You know, he did it. And that's one of the basic fundamentals of our belief is that God created. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created us. He created everything that we see. Everything. And he placed Adam in the garden. And he made him a helpmeet. We don't know how long things went on, but one day the adversary came and visited with Eve. basically, he said, God lied to you. He said, if you eat, and that was the commandment. God gave them one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge. That was it. For you will die. He said, you'll die if you eat of this tree. So Satan came along and said, God lied. He said, you will not die, but you will become as God, knowing good from evil. And that's kind of how Satan works it. He added one word, two-letter word, no. Yeah, you're not going to die. Well, Eve partook of this fruit, whatever it was. She went to Adam and he partook. And they did die. They died spiritually. They were cut off from that presence of God. You know, God walked with them and talked with them, communed with them, and now there was that separation. They were separated forever from God. And they began that physical death. You know, they lived 900 years. We live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But we die. Some 4,000 years later, Christ came to reconcile us to God. To once more make us spiritually alive. He came to die. He came to be resurrected. He came to give us that hope. And it's important in the Church of Christ that we have this understanding, that we have this belief, that we have this assurance. Like our brother said this morning, that Christ never changes. His word never changes. And he came and he preached that gospel of salvation. That one and only gospel of salvation that ever came from his lips. And he built his church. The only church that Christ ever built. I find it interesting in visiting with people from other faiths, other denominations. That when you ask, what does your church teach you about salvation? In fact, we just visited with a young lady in Houston and asked her that question and got the same answer that we normally, at least I normally get from people, kind of a blank stare. I said, well, I'd have to think about that. Have to think about it. I would hope that none of us would have to think about that. Plan of salvation. That's what he came to give us. How to be reconciled to God. That when our time to stand before the Lord comes, we can stand with that assurance, with that hope, that we can have that eternal life with him. In John chapter 3. And you know, in all reality, Christ really kept his message simple. It really wasn't complicated. Plan of salvation is only 7 words. It's only 7 words. Faith, repentance, baptism, endurance to the end. That's it. We have faith, we repent, we're baptized, and we endure to the end. That's the plan of salvation. Anyway, John chapter 3, verse 3. And Nicodemus had come to Christ and asked him a question. In verse 3, Jesus said these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, we can't even see it. If we're not born of Christ, we can't even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." We must be born of the water. We must enter through the waters of baptism. In Acts, in the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles were preaching. There were men from many countries there, and everybody was understanding them in their own language. And they came to Peter and they asked him in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to begin at verse 36. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom thou hast crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's the question of the ages. What shall we do? What shall we do with this Christ? What shall we do with our Lord? What shall we do with that message that he brought? And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That promise was good then. It's good today. Peter says, repent and be baptized. We have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. In the Book of Mormon, in 3 Nephi, in the 5th chapter, and it's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that we have the Book of Mormon? An added witness of Jesus Christ. Not a different gospel, not the different words, but an added witness of Jesus Christ. In the words of Christ, and it's on page 634 in verse 32. "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I would declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it's the doctrine which the Father has given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost bears record of the Father and me, and I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned." We cannot have salvation without faith, without believing in Christ, believing that he came 2,000 years ago, believing that he gave us his gospel, and believing that that gospel is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. Man has changed. Men have changed the precious message that Christ delivered to us to suit their own needs for many reasons. But that pure gospel of Christ has never changed. Has never changed. Christ came and gave us that simple plan to enter heaven. faith. He says, believe in me. To trust. To trust. Faith, belief, is to trust. We trust Christ. You know, with man, it's impossible to gain salvation. We trust Christ that He came, that He gave us this plan, and that if we are obedient, that He will fulfill His promise. That we will have eternal life. We place everything, our spiritual well-being, in the hands of Christ. For without Him, really, we're nothing. We're nothing. Christ, He came and He hung on that cross. You know, and He gave us life. When you really stop and think of what He did, it's overwhelming. He hung on that cross for the souls of men who hated Him. They hated Him. The Romans hated Him. His kinsmen hated Him. The world hated Him. But yet, He willingly gave His life. Because there were some who would come to Him. And it was the only way that those few could have eternal life. And what compassion He has. What love He has. As He hung on the cross, His words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? But He had to die. You know, I thought about this. You know, there must have been some other way, you know, an easier way for us to have salvation. But no. It had to be this way. He had to give His life. He had to spill His blood because it made Him worthy. He's the only one worthy to give us eternal life. The only one worthy to go to His Father in heaven for you and I, because He gave His life. He gave His blood and His mercy and His compassion satisfies. His blood satisfies. His life satisfies the demands of justice. And the demands of justice are that no unclean thing will enter the kingdom of heaven only through the blood of Christ. The grace of God. The grace of God only takes effect in our life through our obedience. We have to endure to the end. Peter said, repent. What's repentance? A word repent is we change our thinking. It's a change of thought. We're going to change our life. We're going to change our thinking. We're going to change how we did things. As sinners, we repent, we change our thoughts, we change our desires. We do something wrong in life, we go to God and ask forgiveness, and then we determine to change our thinking. Become a new creature. And then we're baptized. We're baptized in water for the remission of our sins. When we go into that water, and I remember the day of my baptism. I remember being a little bit fearful. You know what I was afraid of? Not baptism, not giving my life to Christ. I was afraid of the cold water. I got baptized in a lake in Michigan, and that water was probably 40 degrees. It was cold. And I don't like being in water. Again, my wife can verify that. I like being on it, but I don't like being in it. I don't know why. I just don't like being in water. But I walked into that water, and it wasn't cold. It wasn't cold. But the amazing thing about that, and perhaps many of us don't realize it when we make that commitment, when we make that covenant, and we walk into that water, and we do it in sincerity, we do it with that determination to be a new person. We have faith. We've learned the gospel. We've repented of our sins. And repentance really isn't getting down on your knees and saying a few words and getting up. Repentance is maybe takes time. Time to change our life, to change our thinking. Walking that new path, we've repented. And coming out of that water pure and white and clean. You know, the sins in my life before I walked into the waters of baptism would fill pages and pages and pages. And I come out of there pure and white. Forgiven. That's what Christ came for, to take us and take those sins and those things that we've done, we've said in our life, and take them from us. I'm not going to turn to it, but it says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amazing. Amazing. Only through Christ. He came and he died and he made it possible that we can have that purity. In Mosiah, chapter 9, page 259. We've heard this read 100 times. You know, everybody that studied about baptism, I'm sure, has had these verses read to them and discussed and talked about. Verse 39, now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light. There's a responsibility on our part when we come to Christ. We're willing to mourn for those that mourn, to comfort those that stand in need of comfort, to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death. That ye may be redeemed. That's the bottom line. We make that commitment. We have that faith. We repent. We have that desire to be baptized, but we're making a covenant. We're making a covenant with God that we're going to do all these things. And then there's that promise that we may be redeemed and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that you may have eternal life. That is the only way that we can have eternal life, is by obedience to the gospel of Christ. Obedience to his gospel, obedience to his commandments. And then we can lay claim on the power of his blood. And we sing a song in the Green Book, there's power in the blood. I like that song because of the meaning to me, there's power in the blood of Christ. Because if he had not come, if he had not shed his blood, if he had not hung on that cross, we would not be sitting here. We would have no hope of eternal life. We would be lost forever. But it is because of Christ, because of the power of the blood, that redeeming blood, we have hope. And he came to give us hope. Adam and Eve were cast out of the presence of God. cast into this world to toil and to suffer and to have tribulations and trials. We have been given the opportunity to come back into His presence. You find it in many places. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to couple that with the words of Moroni in the Book of Mormon. It's his farewell speech to us, page 777. And it's an invitation to all mankind, and a promise to each of us gathered here tonight. Verse 29 says, yea, come unto Christ. That's what he said. He ministered for at least 3.5 years. That was his message. Come to me. Come. Come. The Spirit says, come. And be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if he shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. We must be perfect. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless we are perfect. And we become perfect because of the blood of Christ, by that forgiveness of Christ, by his mercy and his compassion. Our sins are forgiven. If we are obedient. That's the promise of God. He will forgive us, but we must be obedient. We must be. If by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And the power of God is that he broke the bands of death. He gave us the hope. He gave us the opportunity to spend that eternity with him. Death has no power. Death has no power upon us. Sin has power upon us, but death does not have power. And we overcome sin. We overcome this world. We overcome our humanness through the blood of Christ, through his love and his mercy, and through our conscious desire to serve him. And again, if ye by the grace of God, this love of God, this grace of God is his love, the love of God, are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. We have that promise of the remission of our sins through the blood of Christ, through his sacrifice. And now I bid unto you all, farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite. We are all going to be reunited. When we lay down this body to the earth at the resurrection, this body and our spirit will be reunited. And we will stand before God and give an account of the things that we've done in this life. To those who've taken upon us the name of Christ and have repented, have entered the waters of baptism and endured to the end, we will have eternal life. But those who have rejected the power of God, have rejected his gospel, have rejected that invitation, scriptures tell us that they will be condemned. As we read in 3 Nephi, if we don't repent and are not baptized, we will be damned. We'll be cast off. But Moroni had that confidence, the same confidence that you and I can have, that we will stand before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and the dead. Nobody enters heaven except they go through Jesus Christ. He stands at the door. He doesn't employ a servant there. There's no Peter standing at the door. Christ stands at the door, and we have to pass his test. He knows us. He knows those that are his. And he can present us. He can present us to God, his Father, pure and righteous and holy, that we can enter into his kingdom. In 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 15, page 161. Well, going back a little bit, rehearsing what we've been talking about. Verse 11, and it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And before that, talks about Christ going into the waters. He was baptized. Why? Not because he had sin. He was holy. He was perfect. He was pure. But he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to show us the way, but that only by baptism can we enter that kingdom. Gave us the example. Gave us the example. So in verse 11, it shows unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them, and he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. We follow Christ into the water. We follow Christ in the path that he set before us, that righteous path. And we follow him into his eternal kingdom. Wherefore, my beloved brother, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, in him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. Following Christ. Skipping down to verse 20. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. That gate is baptism. That gate is by baptism by those that Christ gave the authority to. You know, 2,000 years ago, Christ called his 12 apostles. And through the scriptures, there are others called to the ministry. And he gave them the power and the authority to baptize. Then, verse 24, for the gate by which ye should enter is baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The most precious gift that we have is eternal life. No other gift compares to that He has given us, the gift of eternal life. This gift of the Holy Ghost that He has given us, how precious it is. How important it is. Our constant companion. Someone who is with us, protects us, gives us wisdom, speaks the words of truth, gives us warning. Many, many things that we receive from the Holy Ghost. One of those is it's God's witness to us of His promises. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses unto the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which He has made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. Now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Is it all done? We've repented. We've got faith. We've been baptized. Are we done? Can we just walk our merrily way down the road of life and everything is good? Verse 28, behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, I say, but by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and the love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. So if Christ never changes, as our brother told us this morning, He is the same always. He gave us this promise 2,000 years ago. If you endure to the end, you shall have eternal life. We have that faith. We have that trust that He will fulfill His promise. And now behold, my beloved brother, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. This is the only way. The only way that we can be saved in the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ, through obedience to His commandments. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting. This is the doctrine of Christ, the only and true doctrine. It's only one doctrine of Christ. There's only one gospel that He preached. Only one church that He built. In Moroni, page 771, Moroni chapter 8, verse 29. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. The first work of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins. There's the promise. We have that promise that we will have remission of sins. And it's a lifelong promise. If we truly repent, truly humble ourselves and come before Him with that change of thought, we have that forgiveness. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. We cannot serve Christ. We cannot be His follower unless we are humble. We must be humble. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, that precious gift that He has given us, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect which love endureth by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. Not some of us, not a few, but all who have put their trust and their faith in Him and have obeyed His commandments. First commandment that He gave us was that we must be born again. That's a commandment. We must be born again. We must be born of water, and we must be born of the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And Christ had gone into quite a dissertation about the events of the latter days and things that were going to happen in his time, events that are happening today. Prophecy about Israel, restoration of Jerusalem to the hands of the Jews. Verse 36, chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Watch, beware, be on guard, be alert, and pray always. Important that we pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. What things? The terrible things that are coming upon this earth. And we can see the beginning of it now. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, he talks about the perplexity. I think we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. There's no solution. There's no solution to this. Perplexity. No solution. But he says we can escape. We may have to live through it. But, you know, I always reminded of the terrible destruction that happened on this land when Christ was crucified. Cities were burned. Cities were cast into the sea. Mountains rose up. Terrible, terrible destruction. Fire, earthquakes, storms. When Christ came, he was talking to about 2,500 people. And he said, you were spared because you were more righteous. Same promise to us. He could say that to us. You were spared this destruction. They lived through it. They witnessed it, but they were spared. You can be spared these things because you are the more righteous. So we need to watch and pray that we'll be counted worthy to escape. And more importantly, more important than losing our life or not losing our life, to stand before the Son of Man. We're all going to stand there. We're going to stand at that judgment bar, like Moroni said. We're going to stand before that bar of Christ. It's either going to be a pleasing bar or one that we're filled with dread. But we need to pray. We need to live. We need to walk before Christ that we will be worthy to stand there. Not be afraid to hear those words. Come on in. Come on in. That's our hope. That's why Christ came. He came to give us that hope. He came to die, but more importantly, he came to rise again, to break the bands of death, to give us that hope. Revelation, the invitation, come and partake of eternal life. Those of us who are in the path of that eternal life, his commandment is to endure to the end. To others, the invitation is come and partake freely. No cost. There's no cost other then he wants our hearts and our minds and our service. Thank you for your time.